when we read it in our Bible, one of the most interesting books to read out of is the book of Acts. If you like stories, if you like adventure, if you like things that's going to keep your attention, the book of Acts is a power-filled book. It chronicles the early church, really the launch of the church. And that first church, that early church, was a powerful church because it was a spirit-filled church. The words that we read in these two passages, the first one was spoken by Jesus. It was a promise. It says, when you do what I'm telling you to do, there is a power that is going to be gifted in you. And it's not just in what you say, it's going to be manifest in what happens around you. It's not going to just be talking about it, that you will see the evidence. There will be a change. There will be a gifting. There will be a visible presence that something miraculous has changed. And we see this as we read through the book of Acts. Fantastic book. That the amazing thing is that these actions and these miracles, people that couldn't walk were miraculously healed. Situations that seem hopeless were miraculously turned around. People who were locked up in prison because of their belief in a God and they're wanting to share the good news, locked in prison, miraculously released as earthquakes came and shook off bonds, as doors were torn down, as shipwrecks were supposed to kill and maim, that those survived, and yet it opened up a door to preach the good news. Story after story happened to ordinary, messed up, broken, flawed people. As we read through the first couple of books of the New Testament, we see again and again the stories of these same men and individuals. They just messed it up all the time. That Jesus would tell a story and they would get the story wrong. That Jesus would send them on an assignment and they'd get the assignment wrong. That Jesus would challenge them with something and they'd get the answer wrong. That's some of us, isn't it? It just seems like sometimes we just can't get the right answer, can't do the right thing. But something changed. Something changed. And we see what that was as we begin to look at how this story was chronicled, that there they were sitting in a room together, and the promise that God had given them, saying that you will be endued with what you lack. You will be given everything that you need that will change you, that will alter you, that will empower you to do what you've been called to do when you receive the gift that God has for you. And in that first chapter of Acts, we see Jesus proclaiming the promise, and then they obey and do what Jesus says to do. And then in that second chapter, we see the fulfillment of that promise, that they received the power that was prophesied from the Old Testament through Jesus' words and then fulfilled in their life. And it wasn't just them talking about it. They didn't just leave that room and just said, man, that was wonderful. Wasn't that just great? Let's start a Facebook group and let's just kind of talk about this, right? Let's get together and start a club and we're just going to talk about what happened. No, what happened? They began to act with power and began to change their world. And so from that first 120 that received the power, these are the same ones that couldn't get it right before. These are the same ones that messed up every single time. Yet something had changed in them, and they began to go out and preach the most effective message that had ever been preached until that time. That there they are, preaching to people that they don't know. And the Bible says on that first day, that 120 began to share, and 3,000 more people received the power that was promised to them. That's pretty effective. That's pretty effective. But it had nothing to do with them. It had everything to do with the power that they had received. And they go on, and then the next day or two follows, and 5,000 more are added. 8,000. Can you imagine if next Sunday we had 8,000 more people? Yeah, come early. Yeah, and park it south because it's going to be crowded. But this is what happened. And what happened from there? There were miraculous healings. There was miraculous signs. There were things that people couldn't explain. Things began to happen as this power began to be manifest. It was promised to them and they received it and it changed their life. And here's the wonderful good news this morning. It's promised to you. And the same power that changed them and enabled them to become all of the things that they weren't, God has promised to you and saying, I have what you need for what you lack. There is a calling on your life that you can't do without it. There is a greater work for you that you can't do on your own strength. But the good news is that Jesus Christ came, paid the price on Calvary, and said, this is for you. This power is for you. We need that power. We're faced with too much. We go through too much. We can't do it our own. We need the power promised to us. And just like them, we're powerless. We've made mistakes. We've gotten it wrong. We mess it up. But God is saying, watch what I can do with a life when my power is working in and through. It is part of God's promise to them. It was part of God's promise to us. It is part of the process that God has for you. We see it mirrored back in the Old Testament in a tabernacle plan, mirrored in a building. And yet we carry that forward, and we talked about that. That same representation that he made in a church building says, now you are the church. You are the church, and God's presence filled that building in the Old Testament. And he says, no. No longer is it tied into the four walls of a building or a tent, but it's in you, and I want to dwell in you. Same power, same authority, and it's promised to you. It's part of what God has for you. Turn to somebody and tell them, God's promised this for you. It's for you. It's without expectation. There is no age limit. There is no height limit. There is no income limit. There is no seniority limit. You don't have to be from one side of town or the other. Doesn't matter which zip code you come from. Doesn't matter what your background is. Doesn't matter how good you were. Doesn't matter how bad you were. It is for everyone. It is for you. Turn to somebody. Tell them, it's for me. It's for me. It's for me. And so we pursue it, we desire it, we encourage others to experience it. As a church, it is part of why we are here. But here's where I want to get to today, because something changed from then until now. We still desire to receive that power. We still want that in our life. But this idea of seeking for it, this idea of tarrying for it, this idea that it is difficult and hard and just something that we have to figure out is something that we don't see in Scripture. This idea of explaining someone in their walk for God, and here's the thing, we're all guilty of saying this if you've spent any time in church, that we describe some people as, oh, well, they're seeking for the Holy Ghost. Or they're tarrying for the Holy Ghost is the old time word. And we all know those in our lives that maybe you know somebody that said, well, they tarried for years before they got the Holy Ghost. Or maybe have been tarrying for years. We don't see this in Scripture. The only time that we see anybody waiting was it for it to be released for the very first time. And once those doors were open, we don't see anyone seeking or tarrying any longer. That the problem is when we describe it as something to be sought after or seek, it insinuates that it's something that God has hidden. That is not scriptural. God says, I have a gift for you. I have a gift for you. He doesn't say, but I'm going to hide it. God does not do the Easter basket thing. I don't know about you, but one of the things we've done with our kids is, you know, got to hide the Easter basket. I don't know, maybe you do something like that. Or maybe you just eat all the candy ahead of time. But just, and as our kids have gotten older, it has been tougher and tougher to hide the basket. When they were little, you could just set it above eye range, and then they just couldn't find it. Okay? Now, or lately, it's been like, well, it's somewhere in the neighborhood. You know, get your GPS, you know, it's like geocaching, you know, you gotta go find it. That is not the way that God works, and yet we come to him so often. God, I want this. God, I desire this. I want this for me. Where did you hide it? I'm looking for it. I'm seeking for it. Here's the problem. That is the wrong way, and many are struggling to receive the power that God has for them because they're seeking for it, tarrying for it, searching for it, and it's not about getting it. The problem is when we're seeking for it and trying to get something, we miss it. It is not something for us to get. It is a gift that God gives. God doesn't hide his gift. That this power that we're talking about is not found in getting. It is not an outward experience that we seek that somehow will make some kind of internal change. But it is this. It is an inward change that is made evident by an outward experience. It starts not with me getting something. The only way to receive it is by me giving what I have to God. It's not about me saying, God, give me, give me, give me, give me. It's about us saying, God, here is everything I have. Here's my heart. Here's my life. Here's everything. And when we take the focus away from what it truly is, we miss it. It's not about the evidence. Let me just say it this way. Is Emma still here? Is she down? She's down? Okay, down. Good. All right. I don't know if you've noticed or not. I had to ask, all right? Because I don't know if you've seen Emma around here lately, but Emma and Scott are getting ready to increase their family. Maybe today. maybe this week. It's due this week. But here's the thing I know about them. They have a nursery decorated. Okay? They have a stockpile of onesies and twosies and threesies, or how it goes, right? They have a big old stack of diapers that they went out and purchased. They've got diaper pails. They've got little mobiles. They have a baby bed, all right? All of these wonderful things. But here's the thing. If you went out and you bought diapers and onesies and twosies and threesies and a mobile and a baby bed, that does not mean that you are having a baby, does it? Am I right? Some of you are, thank God for that. Because I'm never going to a baby shower again. If that was me, I'm no more gifts. I'm not buying that. Staying away from that whole department. Right? Here's the thing. The evidence doesn't mean anything unless it is tied to the real thing. Now, they are buying those things because they are going to have a beautiful baby boy. I didn't give anything away. They already knew that it was going to be a boy. Maybe today. And as a result of a change internally, right, there is evidence on the outside. Now, they did not say, hey, we want to have a baby. Let's go buy some diapers. Let's go decorate a nursery. No. It's, we're having a baby. We need to do some things. Some things are happening now to prove it. When we miss the focus of what the Holy Ghost truly is, it's like us going out and buying diapers and thinking we're having a baby. We've missed the focus. It is not about getting. It's about giving. And when we are seeking for God's Spirit in our life, so many say, well, I just don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. No, you're not about you getting anything. Receiving the Holy Ghost works. It is so simple. that as long as we are focusing on what is truly happening, we will get it. It is God's gift. He did not make it difficult. That is why in the book of Acts, Peter, they asked him, what do we need to do? And he says, repent. Repent. Turn around. Head a different direction. Because what God has done in your life, ask God to forgive and then change the direction to God. And he says this means that I am giving everything I am and will be and have been to God. I am completely submitting. I am giving everything. God, here's my mess. Here's my past. Here's my sin. Here's my problems. Here's my lies. Here's all of the things that I've done. It's yours, God. All my mess is yours. But God, here's my future. Here's what I'm going to be. Here's what I can be. Here's the way I'm going to live my life. Here's the way I'm going to conduct my life. God, that is yours as well. I am all yours. Completely letting go. Completely giving that to God. And he says, then we're baptized, which is the physical symbolizing of I am dying to what was, and I am being buried like Christ was buried. But because of the fact that he was buried and rose, I am being reborn again. That power is mine. And he says, when those happen, when that happens, then you don't need to worry about it. It is God's gift to you. And you begin to worship him out of faith, believing that God keeps his promises. And guess what? God keeps his promises. When we empty out and proclaim him as Lord, God does not wait around. God does not like empty vessels. Read through scripture. God fills voids. He doesn't say, well, I'll tell you what, this is kind of a busy time for me, you know, with the holidays coming up. I can get to you, let's say January of this year. Is that going to work out? Okay, you've given me everything. Yeah, you proclaim me as Lord. You've just given me your past, your present, your future. Couple of months work for you? Keep tarrying. Keep tarrying. No, it doesn't work that way. I tell you, I've spoken to enough people that have received the gift of the Holy Ghost, and some of them we've just prayed for. It's like, why aren't I getting it? Why aren't I receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost? Why isn't this happening to me? And you know what happens every time after they get the Holy Ghost? They know. They said, you know what? There was something I was holding on to. As soon as I let go of everything, it happened. That is what it's all about. It's not about what you get. The power is when I let go. And so if you want God's power in you, you come and give him everything and then worship him in that capacity. And he will fill every time. You don't gotta wait. It doesn't matter where you're at. You can be driving down the road. You can be at an altar. You can be laying in bed. It doesn't matter where it's at. Whenever that happens, God says, this is what I died for. This is what I have been wanting to do in your life. I've been waiting for you to let go and allow me to act. It's nothing you got to figure out or seek or worry about. It is something that happens inside. That you begin to feel that change inside. God, I've given you everything. You are my Lord, and I am just going to worship you in that capacity. We're not worrying what we're saying. We're not worrying all the words and all of the things about the evidence. That comes. I'm just going to worship you, and I don't care what it sounds like. I don't care who hears it, because something has changed in me. I've got a new Lord. I've got a new Savior. I've got a new hope, and something is manifest in me, and before you know it, you're not even going to realize it, but you're going, I have no idea what I'm saying, but it feels right from the inside. I'm not thinking about it. I'm not worried about it. But something has changed in me. And this is the only way that I can express it. Something has happened inside of me. And it's the only way that I can manifest it. And it's real. And you can't deny it. Because something has happened on the inside. And the evidence manifests itself on the outside. That needs to be the focus. It's an inward change that is made evidence by an outward experience, not an outward experience that we are trying to pursue or coach or manifest and try to figure out on our own. You're going to miss it, and you're going to be tarrying unscripturally for a long time. It's not worth the sweat and effort, trust me. It's whenever you decide to say, God, here is 100%. I'm in, and I'm taking the plunge, all in. We say it this way. It's kind of like jumping off the cliff. You can't jump off the cliff and leave one leg. That's not jumping, all right? That's painful, right? But you're not going to get very far, and you're going to hurt yourself trying, okay? You got to leap. You got to leap. It's all in. It's all or nothing. God doesn't work on a percentage basis. He doesn't say, well, you know what, I tell you what, I got a special deal today. If you will give me 90%, I'll make up the difference. God wants all of you. God wants all of you. God loves you. It says that God is a jealous God. He loves you. He loves you. He desires all of you. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, can you imagine, for those of you that are married, can you imagine going and you gonna propose and you say, man, I'd like to marry you, but here's the deal. I would like to be married to you on like Sunday through Friday, but I'd like to have Saturdays for myself. You know, I mean, come on. I mean, you're getting Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I mean, the good work week is all yours, and even Sunday we can go to church together. But just Saturdays for me, you know, just. Do you think anybody in their right mind goes, hey, sounds like a deal. It sounds like a relationship that I want. Yeah. Then what makes God any different? He says, I want all of you because I love you. I love you. And that is what happened. That is the exchange. It is the turning over of everything. It says, I fully trust you with everything. That was the focus, that is the focus. And let me just say this, it needs to remain the focus. Now let me talk here, let me preach a little bit here. For those of you that are seeking the Holy Ghost, I'm done. God wants to fill you today. You just come, give him everything. You worship him, watch God fill you. Most amazing experience, and is the beginning. But let me speak to those, you've had the Holy Ghost for a while. What we know as the manifestation of the Holy Ghost can over time become a learned behavior. Let me just speak to you from my heart. We can become so used to praying in that way that we don't even have to think about it. Then we would say, well, let's just pray. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, you are manifesting the what we consider the evidence, speaking in tongues, and your heart's not right. That is a very dangerous, dangerous place to be. Because just as it was the first time you received it, for you to say, I must give everything to God, that doesn't change as you walk with him. You can't say, God, I love you, I want you in my life, but you can't have Saturdays. And here I go. You know what you're having? You're having an emotional experience. Isn't that wonderful? But there is no power in that. Let me just say this. That is why some can come to an altar, speak in tongues like crazy, walk out, and not one thing changes in their life. That's not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is an inward change. It's an inward change that is manifested by the evidence of speaking in tongues. It is not just because that experience happens to you. That doesn't mean anything. That's like me going out and buying diapers doesn't mean that we're having a baby. I'm trying to teach you here. It is with the same desperation and the same urgency that every time we pray. That is why. When Jesus said, this is the way you pray, we're going to start off with repentance. Okay, I'm going to worship God, come into his presence. But God, here I am. I'm giving you everything again. There's some things I've taken back along the way. There's been some things that I'm harboring. But God, I'm coming in your presence. And just like the first time, here is all of me. Here's my past. Here's my present. Here's my future. Here is everything that I have. I can't hold anything back. I must give you everything. And when that happens, God refills us again. And it's undeniable. It's not just an emotional experience. There is a power associated. It's not just words, but it is power. And there is something that changes in us. Some of you are struggling. You are struggling in your faith. And it could be you've entirely missed it. That it may have been years since God really refilled you. And I would just say, forget all of the times where you say, well, I spoke in tongues and I had an experience. I want you to wipe away all that, because that's not it. The question is this: when is the last time that you gave God everything? That you said, without reservation, without hesitation, every single area of my life, every want, every desire, every fear, every certainty, every priority, everything in my life, it's yours. When was the last time that that happened? Well, that's been a long time. That's the problem. That's the problem. You've been fooling yourself. You've been looking at evidence. You've been looking at the superficial, and you've missed the power. You've missed the authenticity. It is about God being Lord of your life. And somewhere around in our culture, we have made the outside more important and something to be sought after, and missed what it really is. It's about us coming to an altar, an old-fashioned altar, and saying, God, I don't deserve it. God, I'm not worthy. God, I've given you every reason. But if you want it, here it is again. Here's everything, God. Here's my heart. Here's my soul. Here's my family. Here's my home. Here's my job. Here's my time. Here's my finances. Here's my future. Everything, God, it's in your hands. You are my Lord and you are my Savior. And watch what God does. Then God once again will show again up in evidence, saying something changed on the inside and my promise is true. I'm taking up residence. I'm refilling. I'm renewing. There is a power again, and you will leave the altar or the place of prayer changed, and you'll say, that was different. That was different. That wasn't just going through the motions. That was real. Oh, we need the real experience. We can't settle for the fake or just going through the motions. God is saying, I want to empower you. I want to do great things for you. I want to work through you. I've got a calling for you. But you got to be willing. Just turn it all over to me and watch what happens. We're pursuing the wrong thing. We're seeking the wrong thing. God has given you such incredible power. Incredible power. It was quite a few years ago. I was invited to go. This is before 9/11. I was invited to go and visit a nuclear power plant. You can't do that anymore. You can't, after 9/11, you can't do that. But we went in, and it took about an hour to get into the place. It was crazy. And it was just little things. Like, there was a window where you had to go in, and it said A through like J or whatever, okay? And my last name of my friend, the guy I was with, was Fiend, so he went to that window, and so they checked him in, did all the stuff, and it was one window, and there was only one person behind the window, and then there was another window over here with J through whatever Z, okay? Well, I was standing right behind him, and when I stepped up, she looked at me, she said, last time, Mr. Trapani, she says, you're at the wrong window. I'm like, okay, so I went like this, and she took her chair and went, slid over, true story. And she said, now I can help you. Okay? They held to it. Okay? And I said, this is kind of silly. I said, this is crazy. She said, see that gentleman over there? I said, yes, ma'am. She says, he's holding an M16. I said, yes, he is. And she says, those bullets aren't crazy. Those are real. Those are real. And I'm like, yes, ma'am. Wherever you tell me, I will go. All right? What line do you want me to go? Where do I need to go? And so they told us, they put these badges on us that says, if you get lost, just sit down. Do not wander. She said, trust us, we will know where you are at. And so we got there, and it took us about an hour just to get in the place. And as we were going through and sat down with the guy we had to meet there, I said, man, this is just crazy. This is just crazy. He says, not when you understand the amount of power that is housed in this place. Not when you understand how much force that this represents. He says, you have no idea how much potential energy is here. And so we have to do things the right way, in the right order, in order to protect and utilize this incredible power that we have been given to harness. And he says something that blew me away. He says, actually, you have a lot of power in you. I'm like, you want to preach to me now? What's this? I thought we were on business. He says, do you know that if you were to release, he says, here's the amazing thing. He says that the power in a nuclear power plant is generated, that incredible power is generated not by adding anything to it, but when that small amount of material decides to let go of the things that has held it together. He says that is the most powerful force that we know of. It generates the most power that we've seen. It's in the letting go of those elements. Not in adding to, but when it releases, it begins to release such incredible power. He says, do you know that the average human being, if you were just to release the power just within your cells, there is enough power in you, and this just blew me away, the average human being, that you have enough energy just in your cells, that if you were to release that you could power the entire U.S. power grid for 30 years. Every blender, every microwave, every Xbox. The entire U.S., 30 years. But here's what I know. God has given you an even greater power. And what would happen in our homes, in our lives, in our families, our schools, our workplaces, if we just decided to release what God has given and say, God, I'm letting go of those things that have bound me. I'm letting go of those things that have held me back. God, I am giving it all to you. And God began to release the power that was birthed at Calvary and saying that what I did there is the same power that flows through you. It's not a matter of words, but it's of power, that you shall receive power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you. How does that happen? When we let go of all that we have and give it to God, something changes, something miraculous happens, and you leave differently, because he just isn't a God who's out there. He's a God that's in here. And scripture tells us about what that does. It says it changes how we think. It changes how we act. It changes our route. It gives us the words that we need to say. It gives us the strength that we need. It gives us the joy that we need. It gives us the peace that we need. It gives us all of those things that we lack. All of those things that we gain aren't gained by getting anything. It's gained by giving everything to God. And I don't know about you, but that's an unfair trade for me. Because I give God my mess, and he gives me hope. I give God my sin, and he gives me forgiveness. I give God my fears, and he gives me strength. I give God my stress, and he gives me peace. I give God my worry, and he gives me joy. It's an unfair trade. It's an unfair trade. And I don't know why anybody would want to say, well, I want to hold on to that, when God is saying, please, I have this for you if you're willing to let go. Whether it's for the first time or it's for the next time, it's the same way. It's when we completely give God everything. So I want to close with this question. What is so important? What is so dear to you? What is so monumental in your life that you can't give to God? What is it in your life that you can't say, here it is? In light of eternity, in light of God's blessing, in light of all that God has for you, how's that hold up? If you can trust God for your eternity, you can trust him for your tomorrow. There's a God that loves you and wants what's best for you. Would you trust him? Would you trust him? God, here it is. I've been holding on to this. God, I'm scared about this step. This means a big change in my life. This means a change in my home, change in how I do things, change in, but God, here it is. And watch what God does. Don't fool yourself. Don't go through the motions. Don't just settle for something that isn't real. When God has true, authentic power, that is yours. It's a gift. God didn't hide it. He's not got it around some corner someplace where you just have to get all the right motions. It is simply found when I release everything that I have. God, here is everything, and I'm going to worship you as if you're telling me the truth. I'm going to worship you as my Savior and my Lord, and here is everything. And you just begin to manifest that. You just begin to speak and let God do what God has promised to do. And don't you worry about it. You just speak from the inside. Just, man, this is what I feel. I don't care what it sounds like. I don't care what I say. I'm just worshiping you. And it will be confirmed. Everybody here that has experienced it, you know what I'm talking about. Can't deny it. Don't understand it. Go and ask me to logic it out, because there ain't no logic involved. It's supernatural. But it's changing, and it's real, and it's powerful. Can we stand?